This podcast was recorded on Thursday, August 16th at 12:31 p.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Mike DeWine could get into a Twitter fight with President Trump. Is DeWine even on Twitter?
He is, and his tweets are just as wholesome and uncontroversial as you might expect for a candidate for governor.
Okay, let's talk politics.
Welcome to Snallygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly political podcast. I'm Ann Fisher, sitting in for Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. We will get to the president's Twitter account in a few minutes. First, policy nerds, do we have a show for you? Medicaid policy was the biggest political story of the week. For months now, the Columbus Dispatch has been leading really excellent coverage of how the state has been overpaying pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, and it came to a head this week.
This whole issue revolves around what's called spread pricing, and basically it works like this. Ohio's Medicaid program uses five managed care plans. Those are private insurance companies that extend policies to enrollees on behalf of the state.
Those private companies like CareSource and UnitedHealthcare then contract pharmacy benefit managers to handle the prescription portion of Medicaid coverage.
And it looks like those companies have been getting a lot of extra money. On Monday, the state's Medicaid director told managed care plans to cut ties with PBMs, CVS Caremark, and Optum because of their spread pricing model. On Thursday, Ohio auditor Dave Yost said the pricing model was just as bad as previously thought.
Yost says his report on PBMs shows they collected $208 million in fees on generic Medicaid prescriptions alone during a one-year period. That's more than 30% of all state money paid to PBMs in that same period.
And remember, generics are the cheap ones, right?
Right, supposedly.
Ohio's Medicaid director, Barbara Sears, says the state needs to move to what's known as a pass-through pricing model, where the managed care plans pay the PBM's fees. Yost says he's not so sure because there's not enough data that shows that they're any better for taxpayers.
Kudos to us for making this all in lay people's terms, because this is the most Medicaid is the most gobbledygook insomnia cure you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And but first of all, kudos to Ohio Public Radio's Karen Kassler. She did a great job covering this and has done a great job putting it in these easily digestible terms, which is, again, is saying a lot for healthcare policies.
And kudos to the reporters at the Columbus Dispatch,
Kathy
Kandisky, Marty Schladen. Mm-hmm. They've done a great job.
Yeah, they've really led coverage on this all summer. First of all, Yost's report released about an hour before we did this podcast. It recommends additional auditing of how Medicaid prescription drugs are administered. And he says, quote, "It is time for us to think carefully about when we should be willing to use private contracts to obtain public goals." And not a damning report, but it falls in line with what we saw from the Medicaid department itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yost is also running for an Ohio Attorney General.
Yeah, no, he definitely is, and that colors everything that these candidates do. He's gone out strongly. He testified before the legislature today, saying we need more safeguards. Basically,
the thing is, it's been going on for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you know, media, mainstream media steps up to the front and does the hard and tough job.
So we're not the enemy of the people.
No, we are not the enemy of the people. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm kidding. Yeah, like we said, Yost also running for attorney general. I struggled to understand this at first a lot because it's, first of all, it's healthcare policy, which is very dense. I don't know if you can do a good job of explaining this, why this is bad that these companies have this money, how they made all this extra money.
I can see that there are administrative fees, you know, that we pay private sector to administer
certain
things.
It's capitalism.
It's capitalism, and it's a big thrust of Republican administration philosophy, you know, back through the last 20, 25 years, right? But it's the black box thing that's a big problem. If you don't know, then you don't know what you don't know. And when it comes to spending the taxpayers' money, you need to know when you need to know it.
You definitely need to know, and that's exactly what Dave Yost is saying. This is a developing story. We'll continue to cover this throughout the next several weeks here on 89.7 NPR News, I'm sure. Let's turn now to a special congressional election here in Central Ohio last week. We'd be remiss if we did not give an update on the 12th congressional district. That's the heavily Republican district here in Central Ohio, where Democrat Danny O'Connor still has not conceded defeat to Republican Troy Balderson.
When polls closed on election night, Balderson had a lead of about 1,800 votes. That fell to about 1,600 after an audit the next day, and there were still about 8,400 absentee and provisional ballots left to count.
And that's just about where the good news for Danny O'Connor ended. This week, his campaign held a press call saying they only expect an additional 3,000 ballots to count toward the final tally when the state certifies the results next week. And even if O'Connor won 75% of those 3,000 votes that he's talking about, it would still not be enough to win.
No, not enough to win, but puts him in a very strong position, a very promising position going into the November re-election,
right,
the follow-up.
Yeah, these two candidates meet again for the
right,
following
two-year term. You mentioned it at the outset. This is a very strongly Republican district.
Very
heavily gerrymandered, drawn specifically to favor the Republican candidates. Before this, Pat Tiberi, before that, John Kasich, who is now our governor. It's always been a safe bet to come so close, to come within 2,000 votes. Is bad for the Republicans. It does not look good. It's going to invigorate the base on the Democratic side, and it's going to tell Republican campaign donors, gosh, do we really want to waste our time on this race? Because now there's 30 races, I think, nationwide that they have to focus on.
Yeah, and national Democrats could be energized by this as well. They poured some money into the race late when polls were showing this was basically a tie. And John Kasich himself, the former representative for this district, said this was horrible for Republicans that Danny O'Connor was this close.
Right, right. And he's not, even when he, if and when he does concede, if the votes go the way we think they're going to go in this final count, this isn't a dirge. He's not exactly celebrating, but he's certainly energized by it.
And he could conceivably pick up some votes to get it close enough to have an automatic recount triggered,
right,
which has to be within 0.5% under state law that automatically triggers. This is a good transition for us to get into our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
Every week we bust out the GPS tracking devices to find the exact whereabouts of our governor as he tours the country on his presidential campaign or book tour or whatever it is he's doing these
days. Hard telling these days, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh off signing a bunch of bills into law, the governor was most noticed on Twitter this week. He caught the ire of President Trump, who called him a, quote, very unpopular governor who hurt Troy Balderson's campaign by tamping down Republican enthusiasm for an otherwise great candidate. Kasich's reply, not terribly original, but still pretty biting. It was a video of Vladimir Putin laughing.
Yeah, that could make it awkward next week when the president is right here in Columbus trying to drum up support for Ohio Republicans in the fall election. He'll be at the state GOP's annual state dinner, presumably just a few steps away from John Kasich.
Ohio Democrats were quick to blast out a statement that was basically the emailed equivalent of an awkward meme. Democrats say that it has to be torture, Ann, is what they said, for DeWine to have to choose between whether he should hitch his political wagon to Trump or Kasich. He should hook it to Trump.
Well, I mean, if he wants to win the primary, he should hook it to Trump. But going into a general election may not hold in a general. In a primary, yes. But in a general, no. Now, of course, we're talking about the GOP dinner, state dinner. And if he wants to look good before a predominantly Trump-supporting group of people, yes. But it could also play optically not so well in the general election.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, obviously DeWine doesn't want to have to choose between the sitting governor and between the president of the United States, but it's not a choice necessarily.
No, it's not. I want to see the pictures though.
Have you ever been to one of these events?
You don't actually get in for some parts of it, I have. I've covered them.
What are they like?
Well, they're rubber chicken dinners, and there are a lot of everybody who's anybody in the party, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, they're schmoozing and and the reporters are there, they're around, and it's something to cover, but it's kind of a schmooze fest, and it's a show up, and it's a lot of optics.
I would like to be a fly on the wall. I don't have any interest in covering one of them, but I would like to be a fly on the wall, especially in the backroom conversations.
I'd love to be a real fly on the wall. They talk about us as flies on the wall, but I've never really been one, and wouldn't it be fun?
And when we're around, people don't, they keep all the juicy stuff away from us.
Yeah.
That will do it for this week's edition of Snelly Goster. Wherever you listen to us, be sure to leave us a good review. Also, tell your friends about us. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Ann Fisher.